This is Sam Darmacena, and you're listening to CGRU 1280 AM here in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.
And I think that now we're seeing a shift away from that narrative, but it's also going to a narrative that is still dangerous and still kind of one-dimensional. So now it's moving from Scarborough, this place of violence, to Scarborough, this place of like amazing ethnic food that you can discover. And I don't think that exoticization is any better. And when I say that, what I mean is it's still a one-dimensional view that is taking something from this community.
That's the voice of Indo-Guyanese Scarborough-based writer Natasha Remitar. Her first book, Bittersweet, is a collection of poems that explore a lack of cross-cultural and intergenerational communication, transnational migration, and the concept of homeland. As you read Bittersweet, you'll notice that Scarborough life is woven into her poems. You see references to Meadowvale, STC, Scarborough Town Center, and the chorus of crickets that inhabit Rouge Valley. Her Scarborough references are not new. She's been involved with many Scarborough-centric projects and is currently the fiction editor of Feelways, an anthology of Scarborough writing. Even at the start of our conversation, she gave me a heads up that she is always talking about Scarborough. And before getting into her book, we talked about the spotlight that's on Scarborough arts right now and what's sometimes missed by mainstream media.
We're now seeing the kind of spotlight being placed on our arts community. I do worry that the spotlight will be there and we'll focus on these kind of like nice shiny pieces, but what happens to conversations about gentrification? What happens to conversations about police violence in our community? What happens to conversations around food security, homelessness? Like, these are all issues that people in our community grapple with and grapple with in their artwork.
Natasha was born in Toronto and her parents born in Guyana. Like many Indo-Caribbeans, they're descendants of Indian indentured laborers. With the abolition of slavery in the 1830s, there was a shortage of labor which was previously done by enslaved African people. The indentured labor system became one of its substitutes in British colonies like Guyana. South Asian people were exploited for labor at incredibly low wages, and it led to the migration of millions. This practice of bonded labor was outlawed by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, adopted by the UN General Assembly in 1948, but the impacts are felt generations later. And Natasha notes that the practice of bonded labor does still exist illegally around the world. In her work, Natasha explores the impacts and patterns of colonialism and how they take shape in our lives and identities as Canadians.
It covers kind of a disrupted or suppressed lineage. So for me, Bittersweet is all about connecting a home that I have right now in Scarborough to an ancestral home and what happens when you don't have certain links or certain historical documents.
Natasha shared with me that publishing these poems has changed her perspective in many ways. Rather than seeing it as a fragmented history, she's starting to see it more as a collage where you take pieces that you know and you make it whole.
In place of things like photographs or physical documents, passports, things like that, it tries to use more shared knowledge to reimagine the connection between those links. So it uses things, the narrator in these poems, the narrator uses things like definitions, ghost stories, folklore, that kind of thing, to try and create these connections between places.
Natasha gave me some backstory on Bittersweet.
So I had a few of these poems published with Living Hyphen, and Living Hyphen is a magazine that Justine Abigail Yu runs, and it's all focused around this idea of straddling identities and what it means to be the kind of quote-unquote Living Hyphen. So what does it mean to be Guyanese hyphen Canadian? And I think that this collection was my attempt to be okay with not knowing and okay with living in a liminal space of reimagining.
When talking about Living Hyphen, she mentions those experiences of uncertainty and lost history were felt among many of her peers, even though they may have had different migration stories. She tells me about a phrase by fellow Scarborough writer David Cherryandy that she's connected with deeply, this idea that first and second generation writers are intimate outsiders to their countries of origin.
the phrase intimate outsider is important to me because it also points to the limitations that we have living in the diaspora and writing from the diaspora. So the kind of views that we have or lived experience that we have is different from folks who are still living in that country. And in many ways, we often have greater privileges to write about certain things living in the diaspora in comparison to, again, those who are living in that home country. So I think that all definitely is that's all a very big part of Bittersweet, is trying to ensure that my positionality is stated and is there, because the poems in the collection are in many ways written from the outside. There is a connection to this country, to this home, kind of quote unquote homeland. But there is also that responsibility of acknowledging a kind of privileged position writing from the outside.
In her poem, Us Diaspora Babies, We Do Not Sleep, she uses the phrase exiled from birth. I asked her about the story behind that phrase, and she explained that it's tied to a trip she took back to Guyana. She's been back a couple times and tells me that it's been different every time, partly because these trips span different life stages, and how she's perceived Guyana as a child is different from right now, especially now that she knows the history and how society operates.
I had already started writing this collection, and I think when I got there, I thought that, you know, there was going to be some sort of big inspiration, or like I was going to see something and it was going to pull this collection together. And when I went, what I actually felt was the kind of disconnect more, and a feeling of, and a feeling of being an outsider probably captures it best, where I went and you can even tell by the way that I dressed that I wasn't from there.
She tells me that so many people have that experience. We even joked about the diaspora identity crisis we've both gone through, and this idea that going home is often not what we think it'll be. When writing the phrase exiled from birth, Natasha mentions that she was also thinking about the fact that she probably wouldn't travel to Guyana alone as a young woman. And the idea of exile resurfaces when your ability to navigate a place is limited. She says it's something she talks about with her friends of various backgrounds, and there's also a danger in asking of so much from an ancestral place.
I think with this myth, we're asking, as someone from the diaspora, we're sometimes asking something from this country that we shouldn't be asking for, in the same way that people go backpacking through East Asia and they want to find themselves and they want to eat, pray, love themselves into a new identity, and into this kind of transcendent identity. And there's a danger in asking for that in the same way from a place that you're from.
I asked Natasha if she's seeing these complex stories of migration in Canadian literature.
I think that we're seeing a lot of first and second generation Canadian writers publish now. And as their stories are coming out, we're kind of getting this new point of view. Which I really love. I love that my work can be in conversation with so many other authors. I think even when I was studying post-colonial literature, you know, in school, the kind of stories that I was seeing, those stories were still the ones of migration and what it means to have just touched down here and what it means to have experienced your first snowfall. And all of those stories are definitely important. But I think there is a new set of issues that people are grappling with. And I'm seeing that come out in newer work.
By collaborating with Adrienne de Leon and Théa Mitangi on Feelways, an anthology of Scarborough writing, Natasha is also contributing to this change in narratives.
Adrienne and I had a conversation years and years ago before we even had manuscripts to submit and to send out. And we had a conversation about the disconnect between the kind of content that we were seeing from our peers during workshops, and the way that it made us feel ways, and really emotionally touched us. But then the contrast between some of the work that we were being asked to read for class in our English literature program at the University of Toronto Scarborough, and the disconnect between the way we couldn't connect to that work in the same way, and it wasn't relatable to us in the same way.
Natasha explains to me that basically good writing makes you feel ways.
The whole focus on the project, like many, many, many other collectives in Scarborough, the focus is how do we create a platform to bring as many people with us and to allow them to shine.
Natasha tells me that there are many projects in the works for Feelways, and whenever the team is stuck, there's plenty of inspiration around them.
It's always funny because it's like the three of us, we just released our first books, and like we've done editing before, but as far as launching an anthology goes, like we don't always know what we're doing. And it's all an adventure. And that is also something that I have seen in Scarborough a lot. So Rise has such a platform now, and they're doing such great work, but they also had a starting point. And they, every time I go back, they improve. Like every time, it's just spectacular. I always think they're at the top of their game, and then they amp it up the next round for whatever they're doing. In a similar way, Wave Collective, they do a set of workshops for youth out of Malvern Library. And they're also focused every time on what can they do that's better. And I see that improvement, but it's a lot of the kind of work that we're doing in Scarborough. It's often coming from a place with no resources, but trying to make sure that the next iteration of creatives will have those resources and will be able to start a leg up.
Stay tuned for news about Feelways, and in the meantime, pick up a copy of Natasha Remitar's new book, Bittersweet, to learn more about her thoughts on migration, hyphenated identity, and her home of Scarborough.
Something that I've always loved about some of the pieces in my collection is that, as I mentioned before, the collection doesn't just kind of exist on its own. So it connects in, one of the poems out of it, Famous Players, references very directly Adrienne de Leon's poetry collection, Rouge. Similarly, the kind of inspiration for Brimley All the Way South, one of the other poems in the collection, it comes from Norcan's Easter relationship. And there's lots of poems that run through the Rouge Valley in this collection that pull from Kevin A's first album, Tropic. So I think that one of the things that I find so important about my collection is that it's in conversation and that it's kept in conversation with other Scarborough artists.
This is Sam Darmacena, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.